It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Right now, a historic moment. We can now project the winner of the presidential race. CNN projects Donald Trump wins the presidency. The business tycoon and TV personality capping his improbable political journey with an astounding upset victory. Donald J. Trump will become the 45th president of the United States, defeating Hillary Clinton in a campaign unlike anything we've seen in our lifetime. Donald Trump wins the presidency of the United States. He is now going to be called President-elect Donald Trump. He's walking up right now. You see him right there. He's going to be speaking momentarily. He's got his wife there. History has been made. Jake, this is a moment a lot of people are going to remember.
All right, it certainly is a moment a lot of people are going to remember. I was just telling my staff, this is the day, the night, the 24-hour period where you will tell your children you remember that was the first election you remembered. It was the second. It was a turning point. It was the beginning of something bad. It was the beginning of something good. But you will remember this night. I was watching the match. Oh, I should give you the results in case you just woke up, in case you didn't stay up. The few of you who went to sleep, who could go to sleep last night. I mean, it really was an amazing night. I have to say that early in the evening, the early returns were not... The exit polls did not look good. And the information I was getting was really very negative about Donald Trump winning. And I was, you know, we were hearing all these reports of poll stations staying open later and all of these different reports. And then as things moved on, I could tell that the CNN was getting very subdued. Wolf Blitzer, you know, did a nice announcement just then, with one exception. I'll get to that in a second. But, you could just tell by the affect on their faces that they knew something. And then I was hearing, you know, from all kinds of sources, various things. And I don't, you know, it was just back and forth and back and forth. So who would have thought then last night that it would have broken for Donald Trump in the way that it did? He won Florida, 29 electoral votes. He won North Carolina, which was nip and tuck for so long. He won Ohio. He won Pennsylvania, ladies and gentlemen. He won Wisconsin, in spite, you know, of Paul Ryan's tepid support. That's even a compliment to say it's tepid. Now, Scott Walker was helping him. But I'm telling you, there's a talk show host up there, Charlie Sykes, who's a strong conservative who hates Trump. And he had been hammering at Trump daily, weekly, in Wisconsin, and I think that certainly had was a factor. Wisconsin's always divided anyway. Look at Scott Walker, how he's had, it's been a fight for him to just hang on. It's a divided state. It's a lot of socialists in Wisconsin. Some people say it's the birthplace of the Communist Party, USA. So it's a tough state, and yet he won that state last night. And Pennsylvania, unbelievable. Arizona, of course, Texas. They kept saying Texas might be in play. It wasn't in play. Iowa, South Carolina, Utah, you know, where the third-party candidate threw his hat in the ring. That was a real, my understanding is, excuse me, it's been a short night. There is a division in, at least this is what I'm hearing from insiders, that there is a fight going on among Mormons, and it's the traditional Mormons who really are a strong family, who are not in favor of gay marriage. They believe in traditional families. And then there's a strong gay Mormon movement, and there's a battle for the heart and soul of the Mormon Mormon Church. So Evan McMullen came out of that, I think, challenging branch. There were rumors about him. I don't know if they're true or not, but also my sources in Utah tell me that he was actually funded by Democratic sources. He was the spoiler, but he didn't spoil for Donald Trump, because Donald Trump did prevail on Utah. As I looked at these states, you know, that was, they were coming in last, I thought, boy, that is American Family Radio territory. It's Mississippi and Louisiana and Indiana and Ohio and, Alabama, Arkansas, as these states started coming out, Oklahoma, of course, West Virginia. And so it was an amazing night. Mrs. Clinton took Washington, Oregon, California, Nevada, Colorado, New Mexico, Illinois, Maine, Virginia only by 30,000 votes. And that was an interesting, that's an interesting story. You know, Virginia, because of all the federal workers who are leftists, and let's just say Northern Virginia is filled with people like that. This has become like the Chicago or the New York of Virginia, where it's a densely populated area. And most of the people are, you know, because of the regime that's in power, are very far to the left. And so, and because, and there's a, such an stealing goes on here. And there's a very weak Republican Party. Oh, it's been strong. It's strong for the establishment. It's not strong for, it was not strong for Donald Trump. In fact, people that were out in the precincts working for Donald Trump reported that Republican Party operatives were refusing to really work for him. And they would say, in fact, when they were challenged about that, one of them said, oh, well, he's on the sample ballot. And that's all they did. So the Republican Party did very little for Donald Trump in Virginia. So Mrs. Clinton won Virginia. She won some northeastern states. And now I'm just trying to pull up the map and it doesn't want to come up. So I'm trying to think what those, we'll get into that later. John Gizzi's going to join us and he'll give us a rundown. But that gives you a really good idea. She won 218 electoral votes and Trump won 279. And also the popular vote has gone into her, in her favor. It's not by much. And again, for some reason, my computer's frozen, but the popular vote, she's exceeded. That's because the West Coast coast votes come in late. California is densely populated and that's where a ton of her, the numbers are coming in. But if you look at the map, it really is an incredible sea of red. The Senate chamber will remain in Republican hands. They lost one seat for sure in Illinois. Mark Kirk lost to Tammy Duckworth. Tammy is a real leftist, but Mark Kirk is terrible too. So that was kind of a interesting. Mark Kirk is good on some national security things, but he's terrible on LGBT issues. He is really aligned with the left on many, many things. And so he didn't prevail in Illinois. It's just a, it's an interesting thing. Of course, in Illinois, he went to Mrs. Clinton. What I'd like to do today, I want you to hear what Donald Trump had to say last night when he came out on the stage. Important things. And I think he set the tone for this turn of events in the United States of America. Let's listen.
USA! Thank you. USA! Thank you very much, everybody. Sorry to keep you waiting. Complicated business. Complicated. Thank you very much. I've just received a call from Secretary Clinton. She congratulated us, it's about us, on our victory. And I congratulated her and her family on a very, very hard-fought campaign. I mean, she fought very hard. Hillary has worked very long and very hard over a long period of time, and we owe her a major debt of gratitude for her service to our country. I mean that very sincerely.
All right. So that was, I hope that you saw that address that he gave last night, that acceptance speech. Mrs. Clinton didn't show up for her party. She had all of these, she had a beautiful stage set up. And, you know, initially they had fireworks planned in New York. They canceled those day before yesterday, which was an interesting news story. And then she never came out last night to greet her people. And many of them were crying. They were on the floor. They were just in shock beside themselves. they thought they were going to win this. And earlier in the evening last night, you could tell her the spokespersons for her campaign were elated, but it did not go her way. And I was just thinking today, I was just thinking of the lives that are transformed today or have, today would have been a day of dread for them if Mrs. Clinton had won. And I just did a random list here. Coal miners in Pennsylvania, West Virginia, coal mining country, where the Obama administration and Hillary Clinton, now following him, very nearly have destroyed the coal industry. Coal miners, will there be work for them again? Will the coal mines come alive? I don't know. Judicial Watch here in Washington. Can you imagine if Mrs. Clinton had won yesterday, how Tom Fitton and the people at Judicial Watch would be doing? There was no question Mrs. Clinton would have come after them with an absolute vengeance. I think of Frank Gaffney, who's on this show every day doing a commentary, who's shouting the clarion call about the Muslim Brotherhood. They would have been after Frank without mercy. Huma Abedin, the operative of the Muslim Brotherhood, and all the others who Obama has surrounded himself with, would have hounded Frank. I don't know exactly. How could I predict? But I'm just telling you, it wouldn't be a good ending. I think of soldiers on the battlefield today, without a real mission or purpose, risking their lives, without real leadership, without equipment, without direction. Their lives have been changed as a result of this. I think of the American Family Association and Family Research Council. I think of Samaritan's Purse. I think of all of the organizations, the churches that you support, whose very existence would be in jeopardy by a president who has said that religious values will have to be changed in order to accommodate. There would be a forcing, a bowing of the knee. Now, could I hasten to add, please don't view this as now it's business as usual. Now, listen, I think you should go back to your lives and enjoy. You know, the founding fathers said that one of the things they wanted that was we would be free to pursue happiness. That's what they're talking about. It's not a happy thing when you can't have health care, when your costs are going up, when you see your bank account going down, when you can't find a job, when you see illegal immigrants coming in without being vetted, when you feel real danger, when you're a rancher and they're marching across your property, creating a threat to your family. You're not able to pursue happiness. And so they tried to lay a foundation. There's nothing wrong. God wants us to be happy. He created, after all, a garden, a perfect environment so that man could thrive. He provided food. He didn't have to worry even about clothing. This is what God had in mind for man when he created him. There's nothing wrong with pursuing happiness. My only caution is that the most important thing, though, for those of us that are followers of Jesus, is that we put him first. And that we continue to seek God and holy living. That we don't waste this fright, this scare, this glimpse at a complete fall off the cliff as just something that we can forget and have make no changes. We need to continue in our sincere and dedicated and our heartfelt praise and worship and dedication to serving him. And not let this day just bring about some sort of a ho-hum. Please don't do that. I was thinking of other people, citizens. Again, I mentioned this just a second ago, but citizens overwhelmed by the Obamacare costs, by their premiums, by their deductibles, people who are sick who can't find the right doctors. Today is a good day for them. And the list goes on and on. This is what I'd like to do today. In a second, John Gizzi, who is with Newsmax, he's the White House correspondent, the chief political columnist. He's going to join us because there were a lot of other things on the ballot yesterday and tell us some things about what went on. And then I want to open the phone lines because I know that you have much to say. And all right, so here we go. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on this historic day on AFR Talk.
Back in 07, my father passed away. My mother had passed away 7 years earlier, and they left me a small inheritance, and I wanted to give back to AFA for all they have done for me.
Carol talks about her experience with the AFA Foundation.
I am an avid listener to AFR, 12 hours a day, and I hear Dan Celia talking about the charitable gift annuity. I liked what the gift annuity offered, donated a certain amount, and from that, I get a check every month, which is retirement income for me.
If you'd like to support the work of the AFA and receive a fixed income for life, a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation may just be what you're looking for. Learn more by contacting the Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
You're listening to the Ankerberg Minute with apologist and best-selling author Dr. John Ankerberg.
Someone once said, "You are the only Jesus many people will ever see." In fact, many folks decide what Jesus is like based on how Christians act. The Apostle Paul said, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." Well, we too are to follow Christ's example so others will see who Jesus really is. And as a result, others should want to live more like you. Then you'll have a wonderful opportunity to share with that person why you are different because of Jesus living in you. When we live like Christ, we help those seeking Him experience a little glimpse of what He is really like.
For additional resources on this topic, log on to johnankerberg.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next. How would you like to finish your degree online? Truett McConnell University makes that possible with their top-notch online program. You can even earn a master's in theology. For 70 years, Truett McConnell University has been preparing students to fulfill God's high calling on their lives, on campus or online. A degree that can not only change your life, but also your workplace. Truett.edu is the website. That's Truett.edu. A while back, I told you the story of Eagle Scout Carson Collar. Carson was falsely accused of stealing a single chicken nugget at Tennessee's Farragut High School. He was later exonerated after his mother produced receipts showing he had paid for that extra nugget. She posted a story detailing the incident on Facebook, and eventually it landed on my desk. As a way of honoring Carson's character, I reached out to the local Chick-fil-A and arranged to provide him a gift card so Carson could eat as many extra chicken nuggets as his heart desired. He joked that he just might invite his principal to lunch. Well, it turns out it was no joke. Carson treated his principal to a chicken sandwich and waffle fries. And in doing so, he taught all of us a lesson about forgiveness and grace. And that concludes the great chicken nugget caper of 2016. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
The President-elect of the United States of America, Donald Trump.
I will be president for all Americans. No dream is too big, no challenge is too great. Nothing we want for our future is beyond our reach. Our work on this movement is now really just beginning. To all Republicans and Democrats and independents, it is time for us to come together as one united people.
It's about us.
The American people have spoken, and the American people have elected their new champion.
It's been what they call a historic event, but to be really historic, we have to do a great job. And I promise you that I will not let you down.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you. That was Fox and Friends this morning. If you woke up, you heard that. The final tally. Now, I have a different tally here from different sources, so my guests can sort this out. Hillary Clinton, 218 electoral votes, and Trump, 279, according to one source. Not quite as many, according to another source. Just a few things before I introduce our guest. Protests erupted in California last night. According to KTVU, about 100 protesters gathered in Oakland and sought to block freeways and create commotion. The San Francisco Gate reported that police temporarily shut down Highway 24, and on. Putin actually sent a telegram to congratulate President Trump, or President-elect Trump. And here's an interesting story. The website, Canada's website that takes applications for immigration into Canada, shut down last night. So they, some people are actually making plans. I can understand that. I think some of Podesta's people, some of the people in the WikiLeaks email, might want to make reservations and get the heck out of the United States. There's no doubt about that. John Gizzi is joining me this morning. John has been around for a long time, meaning that he's an expert and has followed so many elections. He used to be with U.S. News and World Report. Right now, he's the chief political columnist and White House correspondent for Newsmax, and he joins us this morning. John, did you get any sleep at all?
I got a little bit, Sandy. I knew you would have me on fairly early in the morning, and I did not want to be slurring my words or calling the wrong results.
Now, that's a good friend. That is a good, it's a pro and a good friend. So thank you, John. You know,
yeah,
I would.
One thing, Sandy. My late mother used to tell me not to correct people, but
yeah,
I was
correct
with
me.
Human Events for many years, not U.S. News and World Report, although I am a big fan of U.S. News and World Report. And in fact, reading it helped encourage me to become a reporter.
Well, thank you for correcting me, John. That was from memory, and it was bad, my bad memory. Hey, listen, correct me on something else. What was the Electoral College count on Donald Trump?
Well, it's still not in, but when all votes are finally certified in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, all are finally certified in the Republican column, he'll have over 300 electoral votes.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I heard someone in my inbox said that last night who's an insider, and I just couldn't hardly believe it. But there it is.
I think part of it is that not everyone projected the winner, and the race admittedly was so close in those key states that no one can give a final column with all 538 electoral votes. But it's very clear when it's all done. Donald Trump is president-elect. Secretary Clinton did congratulate him, as did President Obama, and he will meet with the president at the White House Thursday.
John, did that surprise you? It really surprised me that Mrs. Clinton called Donald Trump to concede. That really surprised me. I did not expect that.
No, and I will tell you why I disagree respectfully, Sandy, for two reasons. Number one of the beautiful things about America is that our republic, which has outlasted monarchies and dictatorship, is one based on ladies and gentlemen. People congratulate one another in virtually every election, and we go on with the country's business after that. But the other reason is very simply this. I don't think Secretary Clinton will run for office again. No one wants to leave politics as a bad sport any more than anyone would walk out of a baseball game after disagreeing with an umpire's call. It doesn't look good. It doesn't really look American. And something else, she has a daughter who might have a political future, so don't leave any black marks in her past.
Yeah, you know what? I have to say, I'll pick number three. You know, remember when she left the White House, they stole furniture. I don't think she, I mean, I don't have as high, you speak, I love your thought that it's a noble gesture. I don't think so, John. I guess I'd pick number three, that it's the future of her daughter in politics. That would make sense to me. But that being said, let's talk about, what did you think was the most stunning a state that, as you watch the numbers come in, the one or two that you really did not expect to go Trump's way?
My wife's home state of Michigan, and remember that last went Republican in 1988 for a presidential candidate. Now, you could say, well, that's true of Pennsylvania, and it's true of Wisconsin, but the fact is that Michigan is a state where, with the controversy over the water in Flint, the strength of the unions, the fact that Trump won the primary, beating the party establishment, who backed just about everyone else, all had the odds against him winning the Wolverine state and putting it in his column. Nonetheless, he brought Republicans together. Bill Schuette, who had been the state chairman for Jeb Bush, in the primaries, and his state attorney general spoke at Trump's final rally. Everybody came together in the end, as did many blue-collar Democrats in Macomb County and other places who turned out for the Republican Trump. One final postscript. Everyone was holding off predicting Michigan until the end because they were waiting for the vote from Wayne County, from Detroit, which historically turns out for Democrats. But the fact is that Detroit has gone through bad times, and a lot of people have left Wayne County and the Motor City. The votes just weren't there for them.
You know, another twist about that, John, I just like your thoughts. You know, the Romneys have a long legacy in Michigan since George Romney was governor, and Mitt Romney had a lot of influence there. And, of course, Romney's a never-Trumper. I mean, he did everything he could to stop Trump. So isn't that also an interesting twist on taking Michigan?
Well, let's put it this way. Mitt Romney not only lost Michigan in 2012, he wrote the state off, and his supporters did, believing that his earlier op-ed saying the auto industry should go bankrupt was just blackening for the campaign. But time marches on. His niece, Ronna Romney McDaniel, is the state Republican chairman. She told me way back in the primary she would support the Republican nominee. And I said, does that include Donald Trump? And she said, of course. She came out with some of the best ringing statements after all the debates and helped oversee Republicans holding two open congressional seats and keeping their majority in the legislature, as well as delivering the state's electoral votes to Mr. Trump. I would say there's a Romney in the future of the Republican Party, and her name is Ronna.
Okay. I want to know what you think about Virginia. I think when I went to bed this morning early, I think Mrs. Clinton had won by 30,000 votes, something like that. What do you think happened, and how? Well, that's not a surprise, but how did you see that whole thing playing out? What do you know about that?
Well, just as essentially a remake, so to speak, of the race for United States Senator in 2014. You'll recall Ed Gillespie led through most of the evening, the Republican nominee, but in the end he wound up losing to Senator Mark Warner because of the votes that were turning out in Fairfax County and the other suburbs of the District of Columbia. That was essentially repeated last night. But remember, only days before, people were predicting a Clinton landslide in the Old Dominion so big that it may take out people such as Republican Congresswoman Barbara Comstock. She won decisively with 52% of the vote. Hillary Clinton won the state, but very much like Senator Warner, Republicans gave her some moments to ponder, shall we say, last night.
John, let's move to the Senate. Because last night, again, the latest, the only seat that I think Republicans lost that I know of last night was Mark Kirk in Illinois. And they expected, you know, to lose, that they had to defend 24 different seats, which was amazing. They did pretty well, didn't they?
Yes, they certainly did. And I was particularly pleased because it vindicated my prediction that Senator Pat Toomey was reelected. This is the most expensive race in the history of U.S. Senate contests, $140 million spent by both sides and their independent supporters. And Toomey triumphed in the end over Democrat Katie McGinty. I was in western Pennsylvania, Fayette County, which is coal mining country. It's fracking country, and a Republican Party almost didn't exist until the last 10 years. Now, you could barely drive anywhere without seeing a Trump sign on a yard, and people were also supporting Senator Toomey in large part because they feared his opponent's opposition to fracking and to the coal industry.
Yeah, you know, I was just, before you joined me, I was just thinking out loud with my audience about the people whose lives really have changed as a result of Trump's win today. And I was thinking of coal miners whose
yes.
livelihood has been shut off. There's a glimmer of hope. You know, I don't know. Has Trump actually said, John, that you know of, that he's going to reinvigorate the coal industry? Has he said that on the stump?
He said a lot more than that. When he was in West Virginia, he spoke and he said to the coal miners who presented him with a helmet, get ready, when I'm president, you'll be working your arse off.
All right. So, you know, and I also thought, okay, I just had a whole list here. I should just ask you, have you thought about that? The peoples whose lives have changed as of today, who would have faced today with dread. I think of Judicial Watch. Can you imagine Judicial Watch and Tom Fitton today, John, if Hillary Clinton had won?
Yes. Well, I know one person whose life has changed dramatically is Merrick Garland, the president's nominee to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
I don't think I've been to a White House briefing where Press Secretary Josh Earnest did not talk about the need to have a vote for Judge Garland, the most qualified nominee in history. I could almost script it today. Well, in all likelihood, Judge Garland is going to withdraw his own nomination in a few days, and the president-elect will probably start preparing the names of a new nominee that he will submit when he takes office.
Hey, John, we only have a few minutes left. There's just so much to say, but I am curious to know what you think will happen with the upcoming lame duck session. Do you think that McConnell and Ryan will proceed with the things we've been hearing about? They had plans for the lame duck to really pass, from my perspective, some really bad stuff. Do you think that this Trump win will change that at all?
Yes, I definitely do, because remember, that was predicated on the notion that their ranks were going to be diminished severely in the next Congress, and that at least one House was going to flip to the Democratic side, probably the Senate. As you said earlier, Sandy, this did not happen. Republicans apparently, as of today, made a net loss of one seat. That leaves 53 Republican seats in the next Senate. In the House of Representatives, I see that Congressman Dan Mica in Florida was defeated. The seat of Congressman Jolly in Florida flipped to the Democrats. And yet Republicans gained a seat in Minnesota and may have picked up a few others. It looks like a wash in the House. There really is no need for a lame duck session because the Congress will be Republican and there'll be a Republican president to sign bills.
Well, that changes so many things. I mean, that really does. That's just huge, as Donald Trump would say. How do you think Barack Obama will respond to this, John, and the Obama administration?
He already has, and he's been a perfect gentleman. He congratulated the president-elect last night, and as he's done in foreign elections, he calls the winner and the loser. And he invited Mr. Trump to come to the White House on Thursday to meet with him, and Mr. Trump graciously accepted. So once again, no matter what happens in a campaign, no matter what is said, the business of the Republic goes on. And let me say, as someone who has seen him more than 300 times, met him 3 times, Barack Obama was a perfect gentleman.
John, you know, I know that you remember this. I surely do. Remember when Jackie Kennedy redecorated the White House? It was
yes.
In such disrepair. I think Donald Trump might likely do something like that. What do you think?
I think he will do it, and it wouldn't surprise me if both he and the First Lady joined in giving a televised tour to the nation the way Mrs. Kennedy did.
Yeah, it's amazing. This is just this has just changed everything. And how do you see? You've been in Washington for so many years. We have 1 minute left. You know, things really do change when administrations change, even the feel of the city. Would you not agree?
Oh, I do. And now I have to make good on the promises to all my friends who said book them a hotel room for the inauguration. I'm not sure I can do that, but I think that we might see an equivalent of Andrew Jackson's inauguration in 1829, where people just marched through the White House, regular people, having a president who was unlike anyone else, and that wouldn't surprise me at all. I, of course, was not here to cover Andrew Jackson.
You know, I don't remember that one either, but I did read a book about it. Hey, John, thank you. Thanks so much for getting up early when it was such a late night to join us. John, of course, with Newsmax. You can see Newsmax television, and I'm sure John is part of that, too. Columnist for them, and the White House correspondent. John, thanks, and now go back to bed. We'll talk to you soon.
Calling me anytime, Sandy.
All right, I will. Thank you. All right, Sandy Rios, and we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. What are you thinking this morning? What's on your mind? Let's talk about it.
Hey. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to Israel in March, March 9th through the 17th. We'll be going to the land of the Bible, the Holy Land. We'll be seeing so many places every day. The days are just full of things you've read about in the Bible. And one of the things that I enjoy about our trip is wearing people out. And we'll be wearing folks out during our trip of Israel, because I know that when folks pay to go to Israel, they want to see it all, and we'll be seeing it all, including Bethlehem, Jericho, Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, Nazareth, and much, much more. Won't you join us on this special tour of Israel in March? For more information, just call us and we'll send you a brochure at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, or go on the web at twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
Hello, this is Franklin Graham. Christmas is coming up, and that means you can pack a gift-filled shoebox for a boy or girl in need around the world through Operation Christmas Child. Don't forget to write a note and tell that child who receives this box that they are loved and not forgotten. I want the children of the world to know that God loves them, that He cares for them. So thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. God bless you.
Log on to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC to get involved. That's SamaritansPurse.org/OCC.
Hello, friend. I'm Pastor Ron Jones, and I'm glad to tell you something good has come to American Family Radio. Something Good is a daily half-hour Bible teaching program that I'm hosting at 6:30 p.m. Central Time. In a world full of so much bad news, we're glad to bring you something good. Learn more at somethinggoodradio.org. That's somethinggoodradio.org.
The church in America is in a state of spiritual emergency. Though we have access to more resources and biblical teaching than at any time in history, we are not characterized by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. Every time in Scripture, when God's people cried out in humble, desperate, repentant oneness, He responded in favor of their prayers. Every time. Today, across our nation, God is waking up believers from our slumber to earnestly pray for revival in brokenness, humility, and repentance. Since only Christ can save, heal, and revive, let's join together to turn from every sin God reveals to us, pray with urgency for spiritual recovery and awakening, and unite with other believers in spreading the hope of Christ-centered revival.
Unite with others for one night, one hope, one cry. From Lake Point Champion Center in Cartersville, Georgia, on Sunday, November 20th at 5 Central, on American Family Radio and OneCry.com.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. America has now had its own Brexit on steroids. As the British did earlier this year, a majority of our countrymen and women have rejected the misrule of the establishment. They have elected as their next president and commander-in-chief Donald Trump, to the shock and dismay of the political, business, and media elites. The vote was a profound and direct repudiation not only of Trump's opponent, Hillary Clinton, and her stated agenda of an Obama third term. It was a rejection of President Obama's first two as well. The vote's a mandate for a President Trump to do what he repeatedly promised, namely draining the swamp in Washington. His first test will be whether he succumbs to the pressure to conciliate with and perpetuate that elite, or seeks to secure for his administration new reliable allies in the congressional leadership. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Thank you. Thank you very much, everybody. Sorry to keep you waiting. Complicated business. Complicated. Thank you very much. I've just received a call from Secretary Clinton. She congratulated us, it's about us, on our victory. And I congratulated her and her family on a very, very hard-fought campaign. I mean,
She fought very hard. Hillary has worked very long and very hard over a long period of time, and we owe her a major debt of gratitude for her service to our country. I mean that very sincerely.
All right, that was Donald Trump in the first part of his remarks last night. If you didn't see his remarks, you should watch the speech, because he actually did lay out some very profound things. He had a very humble attitude. He thanked his family. And you heard what he said about Mrs. Clinton. Now, you know what? I'm glad he said that. I think that was exactly the right thing to say. Very gracious. But do not kid yourself. I am not in agreement with John, who just said that she's the perfect lady. I doubt that. She didn't show up at her to thank her own people. Crowds gathered. You know, they stayed for hours. They were crying. She didn't even bother to come out. I don't forget. We must not forget. This is what George W. Bush did, from my perspective. That was a total mistake. When they came into the White House after the Clintons left, the Clintons were still the criminal, selfish, power-grabbing people that they always were. And George W. Bush wanted to rush to make peace, and there was never any kind of justice for the criminal acts, like stealing furniture from the White House. Never anything like that. And so the thing went unsettled. And so I just think we cannot forget that Mrs. Clinton, we cannot forget the criminal acts that she has participated in, and her husband, not the least of which is selling the country. And so something needs to be done about that. I hope that Donald Trump, President-elect Donald Trump, does something to bring justice and sets the tone for bringing justice. I think it's necessary. All right, I want to hear what you have to say. Enough about me. Enough from me. Let's go to Virginia with Pat. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, Sandy. What a glorious day.
Yep, it is.
I first thank you for everything that you and AFA and AFR have done to pull this off on the people of the United States. And I'd like to encourage you and all the other anchors that are on AFR today to allow the people that listen to you on a regular basis to rejoice and to celebrate and give them one day at least to be joyous and not tell them, oh my goodness, don't set back, don't be ho-hum, and just go about your day. This is a day for everyone who voted for Donald Trump to set back and say, thank you, Jesus, for what has happened, and all the good people in this country who voted for something that's very, very good.
Pat, good words. That if I communicated anything different than what you just said, I take it back, because I feel the same way. This is a day of celebration. And as I was looking at that map, I did see, you know, so many of the states that voted for Donald Trump were states where AFR has a strong presence. And I think of all the hours, you know, not that we encouraged a vote for him. We did not endorse him as a candidate and certainly understand his flaws, but we did our part in trying to encourage people to come out and do something to preserve their country, and they did it. And I agree with you. I am I'm overwhelmed. You know, I've been in this business for a long time, and we hardly ever have good news. Just hardly ever have good news in my lifetime. And this is a day of rejoicing. Whatever may come, you know, whatever imperfections may happen tomorrow or the next day, you are absolutely right. And so thanks, Pat. I appreciate that admonition. I do. All right, let's go to Deb in Michigan. Good morning, Deb.
Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning. So what's going up and on but Michigan?
Well, I can't speak for the rest, but for myself, I'm very thankful for the result. I do want to share something that has occurred to me, and we hear a lot from the media about the women and how they voted, the college-educated and the uneducated, which is a little bit of a slam, I believe. The Latinos, the blacks, we never once heard the word evangelical. the church has never been addressed that I heard. And I feel that either that is on purpose or just being avoided. But I think it's important to recognize that the church prayed and voted, and that we still need to continue to pray. Our job is not done. This new president will need much prayer and guidance, and just look forward to it.
No, Deb, that's an interesting point. I did hear, like, in the early morning hours, I heard someone on Fox talking about just speculating that evangelicals, he thought, must have gone out in droves, but no stats on it. I mean, I think you're right. Where is the stat? Where is the reporting on that? Well, remember in the, with the Mitt Romney election, that was the big topic. Evangelicals didn't support, you know, Mitt Romney. That's all they talked about. So I think that's a really good point. I'll be looking forward to hearing about that today. And you know what? You're right. There was a huge effort by various entities to get out the vote of evangelical Christians, in spite of the fact that there was a divide among us on this, for sure. And so it would be interesting to see, you know, what the percentages are. I'm with you on that. Deb, thanks a lot. Let's go to Texas. Barry, so what are you thinking down there?
Talking to me, Sam.
Yeah, is this Barry?
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. I'm about to pull into a parking garage, and I lost you for a second.
Okay, no, I'm with you.
All right. Well, as I was telling your call screener, I'm cautiously optimistic. However, I still believe we got a long way to go to end the apostasy and various other, I don't know, I don't want to call them evil things, but just unpleasant things that has happened in this country over the past, my six decades or so. And I'd like to see that happen, you know, where we keep on pushing for more righteous types of government and things of that nature. Obviously, I'd like to see Roe v. Wade overturned.
Yeah.
I don't know that it will happen in my lifetime, but...
You know, it might, Barry. Listen, think about this. Think about it. My husband and I were just talking about all the things, the implications of this. This president, now President-elect Donald Trump, will have the ability to likely appoint more Supreme Court judges than, I don't know what the stats are, but let me just say, in a very long time. The people that are sitting on that bench are old. They're very old now. And that, think that it can't happen in your lifetime with a very different court. Do not think that. It's actually very possible. And you know, Barry, you remind me, see, to me, the church's work now is to, now we have to preach Christ. We got to preach Jesus, and we got to change our country in the right way from within, so that the church reaches out and is the church and manifests the real power of the living God, so that we can then change these terrible things like abortion and the perversion of sexuality in every way, the unfaithfulness in marriage and all of that. So the cancer of the immorality is going to have to come from within the body of Christ, and we can do this. If we remain a holy people before him, we can do this.
Well, and I would also like to see, I'm a Marine, Sandy, so I want to see some accountability for, as you said, the wrongs that have been done in the past by anybody and everybody. I don't care if your name is Clinton, Podesta, John McCain, I don't care. People need to be held seriously and are criminally accountable for the things they've done to my country. I put my life on the line for my country, and to have people treated this way, I hope I can rest in peace. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, Barry, I'm with you. I'm totally with you. You've heard me say, if you've been listening this week, I don't want to make a long thing of this, but when I was in Cambodia, I saw that no one was ever brought to account for the killing fields, neighbors against neighbor, the horrible things they did to each other. And it was making a national depression, a confusion, because punishment needs to happen. Justice needs to happen in order to restore the mental health of a nation and of a people. So I'm with you, Barry. I think justice has to happen. Thanks a lot. And let me just say that I just got this in my inbox. Let me see if I can read it. It's from ABC News. Trump's margin among evangelical white Christians has been huge, 81 to 16%. It's the widest GOP margin among white evangelicals, for sure. And he also got more, Trump also got more of the Latino vote than Mitt Romney. All right, so just wanted to tell you that that's from Tim Wildman. He just sent that to me. So I wanted you to be sure that you heard that. That's great information. All right, Trump, Texas, another Texan, Carrie, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Sandy. I've been awake all day, all night. And,
yeah.
And I don't care. I go into work. I'll be all right. I am just, I told your announcer that I'm just about as giddy as a 16-year-old that got the invitation to go to a prom. I mean, it's just amazing. I was just praying, and I actually saw where Israel was praying for us. And it brought back the fact that we needed to come back to God. And I am so grateful for all that woke us all up. AFR, a lot of the YouTube stations, none of the mainstream media did that, any of that, except some on Hannity and, you know, and things like that, the ones that stood by Trump. And I am eternally grateful for them.
Yeah.
And I'm really appreciative of you.
Thank you, Carrie. Thank you. Thank you. It is gratifying. I'm grateful to God. I'm just grateful because I do think he's answered prayer. And one of our pastors said on Sunday, I believe that God is bringing discipline to his people as opposed to judgment. I think we've been disciplined, and now we need to listen. Now we need to hear his voice and make him central and, again, represent the living God in a more powerful way than we ever had. And that's what I'm going to try to do, and I'm going to encourage everyone listening to me to do. Carrie, thank you. Rob, you have the last word in Oklahoma, and it has to be quick if you can.
Well, Cindy, you know, you've hit most of the things I was going to say. Just last night watching it was just a great feeling. You know, you just felt peace. I mean, it was nerve-wracking at times, but, you know, it felt like God was answering prayers. And I just was going to say what you said before. It was just getting old. I was flipping through just to kind of watch different viewpoints, and they kept saying, oh, well, it's the angry voters. It's the uneducated voters. And it wasn't. It was the evangelical Christian voters that were out there. And you know what? A lot of us are educated, and we were angry, but we were angry with the moral decay. And it was a great feeling to know that God, you know, showed up and showed off. So it was awesome.
Yeah, very awesome, Rob. So Oklahoma is certainly firmly in the Trump camp and early on. No question about it. You know, there was a really close race in Colorado. I mentioned it yesterday. It was a former Marine, Black Marine, conservative, who nearly took the Senate seat for conservatives. I mean, that was amazing. I think he lost just by 2 points. I think to Corey, you know what, I shouldn't even say the name because I'm trying to do it from memory. But so the Democrat won the seat, but the conservative really terrific candidate out of Colorado was another amazing story of the night. All right, so thank you for your comments. And tomorrow, I may just open the phone lines again because we're going to hear so many things today. So let's maybe just talk tomorrow more about as you see things and as you kind of process all of this and as we enjoy this day together in thankfulness to God, we'll have a lot to say tomorrow. All right, Sandy Rios, so grateful in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.